Please be seated. So one of my favorite ways to take vacation is to go backpacking several days out on the trail with only what we've carried on our backs, living outside, shedding all the distraction and the mental chatter of everyday life. Now, I know that this is inconceivable to many of you New Yorkers. But yes, we really do like doing this in our family. And in order to prepare, we have to lay everything out, taking over a room or two of the rectory with piles of things stuffed into nylon sacks, the sleeping bag and pad, the stove and the bottle of fuel, the cooking pots, a few dishes, clothes, and what always seems like an inordinate amount of food. And since we have to carry it all, we try to select for things that are lightweight and think through carefully what it is that we're bringing. I allow myself a few luxuries, the contraption that turns my sleeping pad into a backrest for when I'm sitting and cooking, maybe a little skin lotion if we're going out into the dry California mountains, and maybe now even the little inflatable pillow I got for Christmas, a true luxury. But mostly, I leave behind what is not essential, and off we go, with the packs always feeling heavier on the first day than we really wish they did, and feeling just about right at the end of the trip, because we've eaten most of the food and because our muscles have strengthened to bear the weight. And then I'm always kind of dismayed to come back home again. Instead of just putting on that same stinky, dirt-stained shirt every morning, the one I wore yesterday and the day before that and the day before that, I have to choose between multiple shirts and outfits. Instead of brushing my teeth and calling it good, I have to shower and do my hair and pick out earrings. Instead of just staring off at the view for hours, I'm faced with the stack of books and periodicals that I haven't gotten to yet, and all those emails that pour in every day. Yes, the hot shower and the soft bed feel nice, but there's a part of me that misses the clear simplicity of life on the trail. All the stuff that pretends to be so necessary in everyday life falls away in pursuit of the one goal of getting out into the backcountry and connecting with what our friend calls the High One. The stuff we leave behind doesn't matter one bit when we're out on the trail, and it's a bummer to have to pick it all back up again when we get home. Maybe that sounds crazy, but there it is. So I think that's why those fishermen that Jesus walked by on the Sea of Galilee were so ready to drop it all and follow him. They were plenty busy with their work, those simple, happy fisher folk we just sang about. They had their livelihoods and their families. They were there mending their nets and tending to their boats and hauling in fish to sell to support themselves. And then Jesus came along. "Follow me," he said. And it became crystal clear to them in that moment what was really important and what wasn't really so necessary after all. The only activity that mattered was getting up and walking after Jesus and letting the chips fall where they may. Following Jesus Christ has a way of putting things into perspective. So today is our annual meeting here at St. Michael's, a chance to look back over our last year of life together and take stock. With the perspective of hindsight, we can see something of how things went in our common life. We'll call up memories and sift through them, analyzing for how we did, where we seem to be now, and we'll lay some groundwork for what's to come. So, how about that 2019? Not the greatest year in my life, I just have to say, but in the community life, pretty good. We began the year naming and refining our core values, the things that seem to define us in the present and that state our aspirations and our hopes for where we will be. And the vestry did that work following on lots of discernment in the congregation. You've been part of this for several years now. And we determined that six statements summed us up, starting with and following on from the first one, following Jesus Christ. And then going through spiritual growth, community, diversity, joy, stewardship. And we brought in an outside consultant to prod the vestry along on setting goals for the next few years, an attempt to shift from just kind of rolling with it to thinking ahead, a little twist in our St. Michael style. Those goals led us to beginning the work that we're on right now, a master plan for our buildings, which we'll be hearing about in the meeting that follows, and also to engaging, along with our seminarian Marianne Younger, on a process of inviting, welcoming, and connecting people into our community. We also launched an outreach committee, which began to survey all of us in the community on how we serve our neighbors and the world beyond St. Michael's. And we hired our new associate rector, Julie, with the remit to bring clearer shape and intention to our adult formation programs. All of that a way of focusing how we live into our values in this place. I spent a great deal of my time here at St. Michael's working with our staff. We said goodbye to Mother Lee, and we found and hired Mother Julie. We found and hired Patty Allen to focus our communications work and bring about our new website. Yay! We tripled our diaconal ministry with the presence of Deacon Elena and with our newly ordained seminarian, Marianne. And our program staff spent time together on two different off-site retreat days for planning and prayer, besides our weekly staff meetings. And by the way, we begin our weekly meeting with meditation and prayer that's led by each one of us in turn. And then we end the meeting with the pastoral staff praying over the needs of folks on our prayer list, you in our congregation. Prayer brackets what we do. Our annual staff fun day, and yes, we do that, was a visit to the Port of Newark with Father David, ship visiting and ping pong, I think. And the year ended with almost all of our staff gathered at the rectory for lunch together to say thanks for all the extra work that everyone does over the holiday season. And our staff and the staff out at our cemetery began to get to know each other at last. Visits in both directions over the year and a joint holiday party together at the cemetery in December. I have to say, we have a really, really great group of people at work here in this church and at our cemetery. And we as a whole community of St. Michael's had all kinds of chances to celebrate together. In particular, at Pentecost, with our Bishop Alan Shin dancing in the aisle, and several of us being confirmed and blessed in the service. And at our dear Edgar Dawson's 100th birthday celebration in late November, a focus for our ingathering of pledges for our parish. And we will have one more opportunity to celebrate Blessed Edgar at his burial service here, February 8th. What a glory that we had the chance to tell him directly how much we love him before he passed on last week. We fed ourselves and our community at meals and barbecues throughout the year, and every week at our Saturday kitchen, and more than 300 times from our altars in the Eucharist. Our choirs and our musicians lifted our hearts with music in Sunday worship, weekly compline, and choral evensong. Our kids and families spent time with the stories of our faith and how we live all of this out in our lives, in godly play, youth group meetings, our summer family camp in Connecticut, and so many more things happened over the course of our year. And looking back on it all, I wonder, how are we doing with setting that first core value of ours first of all, following Jesus Christ? Have we let that commitment be preeminent, with everything else we do falling into place after it? I think, mostly, yes. And perhaps, sometimes, no. It's easy to keep busy without always knowing exactly why. It's easy to fret over money in ways that aren't entirely faithful. It's easy to think that we need all this stuff on our schedule, in our buildings, in our programs, in order to be happy. Our psalm today, the wonderful Psalm 27, says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple." One thing, one important thing to ask and to seek: being with God, the foundational one thing to everything else we do in our life of faith. So in 2020, what might it look like to seek that one thing? To follow Jesus Christ instead of all those other things that pop up along our path? It will probably look and feel different from how we're used to living our day-to-day. It will require more time for prayer and reflection along the way. It might mean slowing things down, doing less. It might mean being riskier rather than prudent with our plans, more generous, less cautious with our money. It probably means opening to hear different voices than those just like us as we choose which path to take. It will mean being ready to change course altogether when Jesus comes along to call us another way. We may find we don't need all that stuff after all. We might even come to like it, traveling light along the path. And that's all only in our individual lives, of course. And maybe together, here at St. Michael's, praying, slowing down, risking generosity, listening, following where Jesus leads. It's the foolishness of our gospel. If we do it right, people might even think we're crazy. Follow me, Jesus says, as he strolls by. I've got the one thing that will pull everything else in order. I am the one your soul needs. I am what you are seeking and what you are here for. Follow me, Jesus says, and you'll soon find that you need less of that other stuff than you thought. And that, in fact, carrying it all along will only hinder you in keeping up with me. After all, we have a ways to go in the journey. So drop it and come along. Let us pray. Give us grace, God, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to proclaim to all people the good news of Jesus' salvation, that we and the whole world may see and know the glory of his marvelous works and live that out in our lives. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, standing together with one heart and one mind and one voice, let us profess the church's faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,